T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So as we get you ready for the draft, we started talking about this at the beginning of the show. How do you think a Greg Newsome trade before the draft? Because we played the Solomon Wilcott stuff in the 5 at 5 where he said he's hearing that, you know, there's a price out there for Greg Newsome and the Browns could be picking up another second round pick. Let's say tonight it was announced. I think the most likely scenario is you get through the first round, somebody missed their cornerback, and maybe it's in the top 10 to 12 to maybe 15 picks, and they go, we'll give you pick 40, we'll give you pick 35 for Greg Newsome. I think that's the most likely thing if a Greg Newsome trade's going to happen.
Pick 35.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean pick 35. I meant like in between nights one and night two.
I mean, that would intrigue me more.
Well, but let's say it happened tonight. Would that change your viewing habits for tomorrow? Even though, the Browns wouldn't have a top 32 pick, but like 35, that's Arizona's pick. They could still trade down out of 4. They have a buttload of picks in the first place. If you were to trade before, if they were to make the trade before tomorrow night and you get pick 35, you would be in shouting distance for the end of the first round. So you can't tell me that all of a sudden we wouldn't go from, I'm going to give 50% of my attention to the Cavs and Magic and 50% of my attention to the draft, to it being 80%. And that's not about the Cavs. It's about, I think most people in town are just ready for this first round series to be over.
Yeah, I think we all are. That's where I'm at with it.
Are you bored with the series?
I'm not bored with the series. How can you be bored of losing?
Winning.
When you've been losing.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
I think there are a fair amount of people who are. And here's the thing. I don't think it's specifically on people who have been hard on the Cavs or people who have been soft on the Cavs. I think there are people who have been soft on the Cavs that say, see, I'm right. The Magic are no challenge for them. Let's just get to the Boston series. And then I think there are people who want to see the Cavs seriously tested, and it just hasn't happened yet. I think the adversity the Cavs faced in this series has been self-imposed. You kind of disappeared at the beginning of the third quarter in game one. Game two, late in that game, the ball just stopped. Did the Magic make adjustments? Sure. Did you just stop making good decisions and turn over the ball with 12 minutes to go in the game? Yes, that also happened. So I think there are people, I'm not saying people are tuning out the Cavs. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I think now that we're through two games, I don't think we're going to be watching game three as intently as we did the first two games. Because I think, I don't respect the Magic. Like, if the Cavs blow game three, I'm going to say, damn you, why did you lose to that team? You should have put them away. My expectation now is, at the very least, a gentleman sweep. If not, don't play with your food. Get through these chumps as quick as humanly possible. And I'm the guy still doubting the Cavs' consistency from night to night. So if you have no doubts about the Cavs and you don't respect the Magic, you can't tell me that you're as ingrained in this series as if this was Philadelphia in New York, where Philadelphia has a realistic case that they could be up 2-0 if the ball bounces one way or another in those first two games.
Yeah, that series is interesting because you're right. That thing could feel totally different, whereas it feels like now the Knicks have pretty much got that thing wrapped up. Certainly, if they go back to Philly and win one of those things, it's going to be a gentleman's sweep.
Well, and I think what I will say I like competitive series. I know we all like I always it was always a little troublesome to like have to go through the first two rounds when LeBron was here, knowing that, you know, that young that team with Boston with Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder before they drafted Jalen and Jason, you knew that the Cavs were going to make short work of there. Their only concern was injuries. And I think in a weird way, I think that's where we are with this. It doesn't mean you're not happy that they're winning. That's not what I'm trying to suggest. But I do think there's a part of this that's like, because here's the thing. This series is boring to people that aren't Cavs or Magic fan. So it's leaving open the door, Dustin, for the conversations that we're not ready to have and are a little bit onerous to have in the middle of the playoffs. Like, what other team in the top six or top eight in the NBA, that's left in the playoffs, are we talking about, are they going to trade one of their best players? Like, LeBron has an out this summer. Yeah. LeBron can leave. They're down 2-0. They just lost a ridiculous way to lose, blowing a 20-point lead. And I don't hear Stephen A. Smith talking about get LeBron out of L.A. And yet, the Cavs are up 2-0. Donovan had a 30-point game in Game 1, and the Cavs were rolling so much in Game 2, they didn't really need anything from him until like 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And I got schlub after schlub talking about Donovan Mitchell and the pressure on the Cavs in this series. Like, in the last 24 hours, Mark Stein has reported there's growing belief in the Cavs, or that the Cavs will be forced to trade Donovan if an extension can't be reached. The Cavs are up 2-0. Like, yeah, I would like to see a little bit, I'd love a more competitive series. Like, that's the theater of the NBA playoffs that we're kind of missing out on right now. The Cavs are up 2-0. And Mark Stein is talking about this crap. Donovan's future, it's the only thing they're talking about outside of here. The only thing anybody outside of Cleveland or Orlando is talking about in this series is, hey, that series is boring and the Magic offense sucks. When is the Donovan trade going to happen?
Dude, you know it's a boring series to the national folks when, you know, we're on NBA TV. And by the way, some of the fans can't watch that, right? Or was that the other night? NBA TV as well?
Yeah, I think it's going to affect this game, too.
And then Saturday, you're 1 o'clock again.
Yep.
The series is getting buried.
It is getting buried. And the problem is, the only thing interesting people can find about is this trade. Like, dude, am I watching everything knowing that the stakes of these playoffs, what's on the line for the Cavs is probably Donovan Mitchell? Yeah. To me, it's like you don't even have to think about it. It just is the cost. If this ends up being a series, or God forbid somehow you were to lose this series, that's the cost, is Donovan's future. If you sweep Orlando, but you get boat raced by Boston, that's the cost, is Donovan's future. Honestly, if you do anything other than beat Boston, it's going to remain open that Donovan has this decision to make. But that being the number one story, like, I'm not thinking about it actively. I know it's there passively. But like Zach Buckley of the Bleacher Report, I don't know why I added the there. He was like, hey, got a Memphis trade for Donovan Mitchell. It's like, what are we doing? Like, how much more disrespectful can you be? Because here's the thing. Your quarrel with this series has nothing to do with the Cavaliers. It's not. The reason why this series is a snooze fest is Orlando's offense is Paleozoic, and they don't have a player right now that can take over the series. And yet, it feels as if the conversation is, we're going to take it out on Cleveland. Oh, well, hey, look, we got to talk about Donovan's future. Like, then just don't talk about us. Don't say a damn. If you can't have a conversation on the Cavs Magic series without bringing Brown to, are they going to trade Donovan Mitchell? How's that going to work? Or some report that is anything other than the same 2 years of swill they've been throwing at you. Because that's what annoys me about this. Why now? Because what it is I do think there's a coordinated effort to get Donovan Mitchell out of Cleveland. And it's all these schmoes in who their credibility rests on Donovan Mitchell not staying in Cleveland. It's everybody who for 2 years has ranted and raved about he doesn't want to be there. He wants to be a Knick. Hey, Jack, they got some guy named Jalen Brunson. Stephen A. Smith the other day on national television saying, oh, I just want Donovan Mitchell in New York. Hey, dude, you've got one. You've got Jalen Brunson. Get your hand off mine. He ain't going to New York. And if he does, he's going to Brooklyn. It is ridiculous to me that all this is, all the Cavs are, and here's the thing, there's nothing they can do in this series. Donovan could drop 60 a game, they could sweep these scrub-ass Magic teams, and all they're going to say is, man, wouldn't that look great in Houston? What, man, can you imagine if Donovan was a Knick and he dropped 60 in a clinching game?
Bing bong.
Like, good God, man. Am I the only person, because I heard Terry Pluto today with the Morning Boys say he doesn't care about what the national media say. The problem is that the national media is more indicative of how people think of this organization than anything else. To throw away and say, well, the national media doesn't matter. Well, yeah, the narrative about the team does. Because Donovan Mitchell, you cannot convince me Donovan doesn't care about the narrative about himself. And you cannot convince me that Donovan's not looking around and going like, where's the media? Where's the coverage? Why is anybody only talking about me leaving here or being traded? You can't tell me that doesn't have a player doesn't have an impact on a player who honestly understands he is massively underrated by the NBA because of his lack of playoff success on teams that he's played on. Dude scoring 28, 29 points per game in the playoffs in his career. That's not what people are talking about. It's all about, well, where's he going? Like, it's just killing me.
Would you feel better if Donovan put it to rest? I mean, he's not going to, but...
I wouldn't want to put him in that situation. Because then it's only going to stoke the conversation.
Yeah, and we don't need a distraction right now.
Well, but there's nothing the Cavs can do. There's nothing Donovan can do. It's just going to be the same chodes talking about this until the Cavs beat Boston. Cavs beat Boston, you won't hear a single damn thing about Donovan Mitchell until the Cavs are either eliminated in the playoffs, until they win an NBA title, or until Donovan makes his decision, or until it's the offseason. Mm. That's the only thing. Because they're damn sure not going to give any credit towards beating Orlando. But please, Mark Stein, please regurgitate the same 15th take that you've had about Donovan Mitchell's future in Cleveland. Back-to-back tweets here by Adam Schefter, old Schefty. As we know, T. Higgins has previously requested a trade because he's franchise-tagged by Cincinnati this offseason. The expectation has been he's going to play this year on a franchise tag, and then next year he's going to hit free agency because they're not going to tag him twice because they're cheap in Cincinnati, and then he'll be able to get top dollar in free agency. But Schefty first tweets, Bengals franchise wide receiver T. Higgins also has requested a trade, being that there have been no contract talks with the team now in over a year. Now, you've noted the word also. It's because the first tweet, the best tweet, was Bengals three-time Pro Bowl defensive end Trey Hendrickson has requested to be traded from Cincinnati per a league source. His agent! per a league source, sorry. And Hendrickson is due to make $15 million this season, is looking for more long-term security than Cincinnati has been willing to offer. Dustin, two of Cincinnati's finest football players, saying, please trade me now. Thoughts?
Love it.
I can't love it anymore.
I mean, you got a team in division with a little dysfunction.
Yeah.
Give it to me again.
All right. I'm not saying they should do this. If before tomorrow's, I don't know why it'd have to be before tomorrow. At some point this summer, if they turn next year's first round pick into T. Higgins, would you be upset?
No.
I don't think I could do it now.
How could I be?
I don't think I can do it now. A few, and hear me out, because I think T. Higgins is underrated. One, I still don't know definitively if he is his own number one or whether he is very similar to Amari Cooper, a 1A. And there's a significant difference there. The difference is, and I think it was Schlereth that explained this to us? Oh my God, we've had so many great NFL guests. I'm my brain is farting away here.
I mean, he's on with us every week. There's a good chance that it was him.
But one of the
good chance.
Have you had a good chance yet?
I don't know why I said it like that.
I love it though.
You gave me a look. Shot you a look.
I got the salt and vinegar eyes going.
You do.
But the whole point of a number one receiver versus a 1A receiver is, do you keep opposing defensive coordinators up at night as they game plan for you? I don't know. That's T. Higgins. Again, he's really, really.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Good. So I don't know the price is worth it. Plus, you're going to have to pay him. Like, I think right now, the closest you're going to get for T. Higgins, if you're Cincinnati, is what the Giants gave up to trade for Brian Burns and give him like $100 million guaranteed, which was, I think, a 2 and a 5. That, and honestly, every second you let this tick on and on, I think it gets worse for Cincinnati value-wise. So I don't think you'd even need to trade that first. The Hendrickson thing to me is much more concerning. Because here's the thing. Wide receivers, especially when you're not the guy, you're kind of the second guy to Ja'Marr Chase there and T. Higgins. You're on a franchise tag, play it out, free agency. There's a light at the end of that tunnel. I think this is my personal opinion. Edge rushers are the second most important spot. And when I say edge rushers, elite pass rushers are the second most important thing you could have on the roster. They've already got the first thing, which is Joe Burrow. But they've already lost DJ Reader and replaced him with, Sheldon Rankins. That is not an upgrade, in my opinion. I think DJ is one of the most massively underrated, massive human beings in the NFL. Sam Hubbard's a nice edge rusher. He's not going to get you 15 sacks in his lonesome like Trey will. Trey is their second most important player. I'd probably even put him in over Ja'Marr Chase. What the hell are the Bengals doing? Actually, I'll tell you what they're doing. They're going cheapers. They're going cheap on T.
Cheapers.
They're going cheap on T.
Cheapers, creepers.
There are legitimate football reasons you swapped out DJ, injury reasons why you swapped out DJ for Rankins. I get that. But look at the guys. They have consistently, there's an exodus going on there. They've imported very few big contracts. Orlando Brown kind of being one. They obviously are on their way to re-signing Ja'Marr Chase. Actually, I think they did re-sign Ja'Marr Chase, and they've re-signed Joe Burrow. The problem is everybody else that was part of the team that went to the AFC title game and went to the Super Bowl is now either requesting a trade or has already left. Well done. I think there's and this is not just because of this.
You see it happen all the time, though, man. Teams go to the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden things just, if they don't win, go south.
I mean, I would say Kansas City kind of did this after their Super Bowl. Like, Frank Clark leaves 1 year. Tyreek Hill gets dealt a year later. Let's see. Then it goes Orlando Brown. Like, you have seen this happen. The problem, the difference is, Kansas City has been phenomenal in drafting. Those, like, Trent McDuffie was part of one of the picks that they picked up in one of the trades where they moved on from one of their guys, right? George Karlaftis was an absolute steal at the end of a first round. Their offensive linemen, Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, a second rounder and a sixth rounder, they're so good at drafting. It's not that you shouldn't re-sign your guys. It's that they can pick and choose who they give big money to. Cincinnati has been okay at drafting. They haven't been bad, but like they haven't had a top three pick. They haven't had a top 10 pick since Ja'Marr Chase. This is draft 3. And it's really, really hard to be good at drafting and find guys, the level of the guys you're walking out the door or pissing off by not giving money. It's really, really hard to find a Trey Hendrickson, a one-for-one swap out at pick 24. It's really, really hard to find a T. Higgins swap out. And again, these guys were both second-rounders, T. in Cincinnati, Trey in New Orleans. Rome is burning. I think there's a real opportunity in the North this year. Baltimore is replacing most of its defense. Yeah, they re-signed their big pass rusher, Matt Ebuike, off a career-high year. But Clowney left. A lot of the guys where they kind of piecemealed the defensive production left. In Cincinnati, even if Hendrickson and Higgins don't leave, you can't tell me this isn't going to play out in the locker room. Joe already bellyached about Ja'Marr Chase getting a contract and used his leverage there. I'm not saying it's going to turn both teams into pumpkins overnight, but do I think it could take teams that could win 13 games, in the case of the Bengals when Joe's healthy, 13 games? Do I think that could take them to be teams that are gettable? Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's about, for the Browns, now it's about get Deshaun healthy, get out of this draft well, and see what you can take advantage of.
Right now, I feel like if Deshaun comes back healthy, this division is wide open.
You know, you and I, when we talked with Solomon Wilcots, I think, did you or I ask him about the AFC North? I might have. It doesn't really matter. The point is,
I think we sort of ran out of time with him.
Yeah.
I was going to ask him about the Bengals there at the end, but we got some good stuff out of him.
So I think, but we asked him, is there a clear best team in the AFC North? And I think he said no. I think if you could guarantee right now, if you could guarantee that Deshaun was healthy for 17 games, I think the Browns are the best team in the AFC North.
Yeah.
They won 11 games last year with four different quarterbacks and about 110 players because of injuries, and you're getting Nick Chubb healthy. Hopefully Deshaun is healthy, and then you've returned most of your roster. And oh, by the way, you might have upgraded wide receiver and middle linebacker. I think things are turning brown and orange here. I don't know if this is like all of a sudden I'm just getting into off-season mode here and I'm starting to become full Homer Radio. But 216-474-0092. If you guys are just joining us, Trey Hendrickson, the elite level edge rusher by Cincinnati, has requested a trade. He wants a contract extension. Cincinnati's not willing to pay him what he feels like he is owed. By the way, thank you to every team that paid a pass rusher this offseason. Thank you. Whether they're interior defensive lineman or edge rusher, thank you. Because dude's getting paid $30 million a year who didn't lead the league in sacks, or almost like Trey Hendrickson has almost done the last 3 years. That's coming off maybe his best year in the pros. Thank you. But he's requested a trade, and T. Higgins' trade request still on for the Cincinnati Bengals. Is the AFC North wide open? And I'll ask you this, Dustin, because I've said it, so now it's just keep Deshaun healthy, and I think you have a hell of a chance here. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, I was adding on there. I totally agree. I mean, it's all about Deshaun. The roster's really good. And, you know, Pittsburgh, we don't know what they're going to be. I think Baltimore's going to be really good. We know that. Cincinnati could be in a little bit of turmoil right now. Still got Burrow. So, yeah, it's wide open, I think.
I think on paper right now, Baltimore's a 10 or 11 win team.
Yeah, they're the favorites right now to win the division.
But I think on paper, Cincinnati's maybe a 10-win team. If you subtract Hendrickson and Higgins, I don't know we should expect that. But let's say they acquiesce to these trade requests. I think you've got Joe Burrow's going to have to get you to 10 wins by himself. Joe and Ja'Marr, because that offensive line is still booty cheeks. And now the defensive line is going to be booty cheeks as well. I think it's right there. And Pittsburgh, I'm done doing the generalities about Pittsburgh. Wake me up when either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields plays like the kind of quarterback play they need to be a serious player. When I say serious player, I mean to win the damn division. I know Mike Tomlin's a miracle worker. I know we should just bow at the shrine of Mike Tomlin. And he's a great coach. It sounds like I'm being a weasel about it. But, like, quarterback play matters. And they've got the worst quarterback room in the NFL. Or, sorry, in the NFC. in the AFC North. 216-474-0092. Real quick, Dave, real quick, buddy, what you got for us?
Hey, I just think this whole thing of these guys wanting to get out of Dodge is just another symptom of what we saw in the league-wide review of teams. Poor facilities, not treating family right. Just doesn't sound like Cincinnati is running things the right way, and these guys aren't willing to stick around unless they're getting paid.
Well, and here's the other thing. Dave, thank you for the call, buddy. That's good stuff to kind of add on there. Here's the other thing. They also aren't winning. They haven't won the last year or two because of the injuries to Joe Burrow. Winning cures a lot. When you're not paying dudes, you don't treat their families well, and you're not winning, good luck keeping your best players in town there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.